Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Have you been seriously injured? Mama Justice is here for you. Our medical team partners with top-notch doctors, surgeons, therapists, and urologists, ensuring a comprehensive recovery journey. If you've been injured, call Mama Justice today. We're here for you.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome in. My toes are not cold today. Maybe yours are, but as promised, yes, in fact, there was more pretty unfortunate cold weather across our part of the world, and now it's going to let up a little bit. No, I'm not going to tell you there won't be blackberry winter or, you know, blueberry freak out or any of those other things that we talk about when it gets cold after it's been warm, but the good news is we'll be here to talk about it on the Garden Mama Show. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, GM.
How's the world?
Oh, it's rolling, isn't it?
It just keeps on spinning. The chair is not covered in coats today.
Yeah.
There's no muffler, refreshing. No hat.
It was like 37.
I have an unfortunate case of hoodie hair for putting it on. It was a little windy when I left the house.
It was 37 when I walked out.
Not bad.
Not bad. I mean, that's balmy compared to kind of what we were dealing with.
Here in Zone 8, that's real good. All of us who know that you go to work well before the crack of dawn.
I get to test the elements about for you. People. Yeah. I have a good time getting out, you know, and checking it out for folks.
I figured that it's those the days the dogs don't even care. They just
sometimes they don't. This morning they were giddy. I mean, Hog thought he was going to work with me today.
All my cats were out. They were ready this morning. Let's go play.
I almost brought him, but our buzzard has had her egg.
Oh my goodness!
And I'm not going to allow the dog to, you know, get in the way of what's going on with her mother, and she's doing a great job.
Little animal husbandry going on here.
Well, it's a decade in from what I've done my research around the building, and it's been going on for quite a while. I've had a few years to enjoy it, but the son or daughter from last year came back with mom this year, and so he or she was an extreme nervous wreck on the day in which she was laying the egg. I watched it, you know, and he would pace right in front of me, 3 feet from me. I'd talk to him, hey, what's up, dude? He knows me from last year. And he would pace right in front of me, walk all over the courtyard, back and forth.
You better be watching things.
Arms down and just head down. It was just very interesting to watch nature in that moment when even the sibling or the child was absolutely worried about mama over there.
Isn't that great?
And she sat there, and he took care of things. And then now that it's, I believe, once the egg came out and she laid it, he did his thing. You know, he was like, all right, she's okay. Mm-hmm. But I loved it. It was heartwarming. Yeah, he had to get back to being what he was. And he's cleaning up the roadways for us.
So. Thank goodness. We appreciate that. Yeah. Well, we who have good relationships with our children are very fortunate indeed. And I know that that mama is just as happy as any could possibly be to have a protector there for her, you know, keep an eye on things.
You got good children. You know, they love their mama.
I like them too.
Oh, yeah.
There's also that part of it. You know, there are indeed times in everybody's life, whether it's with their mother or their dad or their children or this or that, and they just go, oh. Well, that's when you go out to the garden, because your plants aren't going to talk back. They're not going to be sassy necessarily unless it's a particularly nice day and they're pretty. But that's why we garden, is because we want to keep that balance between all the parts of our life intact. And yes, going out into nature, watching the buzzard have her egg there, watching, you know, everybody protect one another. At my place, I knew it was going to be warmer this morning because I looked out and my squirrel was down lower in the tree where he gets when he, you know, he'll go back up. They have a big old nest, but he'll go back up in there and hadn't been out of there for a week. And now he's down on the tree again going, okay, what are y'all doing? The daffodils are beautiful, I'm happy to say. I've got a lot to say about daffodils today. If you have not yet pruned your roses, and yes, I do have some that are waiting on my attention, this would be a great day to do that, and I suggest that you do that.
I have questions.
Yes, sir.
Coming from me personally.
All right.
The rose bushes, they look beautiful. They got the foot of the maroonish red growth, and they're a little straggly though. You know, they got some arms going over here and some going over there. If I want to round them off and Now's the time. How far back should I go?
No more than a third the size of that particular rose, which is a knockout type. Mm-hmm. It's a very vigorous rose.
And I don't want to go too far down because I like the height, but do I want to round them off and kind of get them more symmetrical?
That really depends on your taste.
Okay.
I tend to like things that are a little bit more like an arched crown sort of thing, where parts go up, but other people like things to be rounded off. The rose doesn't care as long as you're cutting above a five-finger leaf and leave its bud there and just cut right above it. You'll direct the growth where you want it to go and at the same time shape the plant.
So, I like them going up a little bit just because there's quite a few of them in a certain area and they seem to put out so many buds when they don't touch each other. They don't want to bump. So I've tried to always kind of keep them from bumping.
It's a good idea. They all need enough room to be able to work their roots and also their sunlight and all that stuff. So I'm happy to tell you that both the gardenia and the rose, and I have to say they got transplanted because I didn't do anything except point. thank you to my guy that was helping me. There's absolutely no sign of any trouble on either one of those plants. And when it got so cold, I thought, well, this might not have been a great idea, but it turned out to be just fine. I suspect most of y'all are looking around today and seeing that things like parsley and even celery, if you're growing celery, I'm growing cutting celery myself. You need to fertilize. The pansies need some fertilizer. All of the overwintering annual plants need a dose right now because between rain and cold, I can guarantee you that the fertilizer you put out on the pansies last November, maybe October, whenever you planted them, is nowhere to be found. It is either washed into the root zone and passed it well, or it's just dissolved because of the wet weather. So it's time to do that again if you haven't been fertilizing. Paula's in from Dentville. Good morning. Glad to hear from you. There are things to do. There's stuff to get done. And if I have the probably my most onerous, the thing I don't want to do, you might not want to do it either, is rake my neighbor's pine straw. But I got to do it. Got to get it off the lawn. So that's got to get done. I've been really thinking a lot about what's going on in the vegetable world. And in my case, it's really the herb world. Parsley and thyme are doing beautifully. Two kinds of oregano are doing beautifully right now. Garlic and onions are all doing beautifully right now. But celery is really the thing that I don't grow all that well. And so I'm growing a traditional celery, but I'm also growing a cutting celery. Now, what is that? Well, it's a slightly different plant. It's entirely related, of course, but it is a spicier taste. It has a celery, it's like celery boosted up, and it has a thinner stem. It's not intended to form the celery that we would cut, into texture pieces for the gumbo roux or something like that. It is often used, though, as the herb just both for its leaves and for its stem because they're really good when they're cooked. This is not a raw herb product. I kind of feel that way, too, about oregano. Oregano is a great thing, but I don't want to eat it in a salad chopped up raw. If you'll put it into a vinaigrette where there's something there, like the vinegar particularly, to soften it up a little bit and brighten its taste, I'm all for it. But cooking celery, or cutting celery, as we call it, is the same thing. It's a little bit too sharp for eating raw, in my opinion. It is a biennial. That means that it'll grow for ages. If it can survive the summer heat, it will make it all the way through to next year, and then it will turn around and form flowers the second year. It's a pretty flower. It's a very big pollinator favorite. The only time I've had it go into flower in my garden, it was completely unexpected and out of time. And in fact, it turned out to bloom late in the fall. And that turned out, it wasn't really when it should have bloomed, but it did. And it was really very, very powerful for the bees. They liked having that. This is also called leaf celery. Sometimes you may find it with a label that tells you that it is that. And in fact, it's a strong taste that's great in soups and stocks. It's really easy to grow, too, where celery has, you know, it's a little bit finicky to grow the whole big tall stalks. In this case, you're really just growing you're trying to harvest the three quarters top of the stems, and then it starts to grow again. So it's really a wonderful thing. I have had people tell me that they put it into tea, but I'm not there for cutting celery. It's too strong of a taste. I do like just a little bit of it, though, in any soup or stew or gumbo that I might be making. I was looking at the daffodils this morning. It was a little chilly yet for me to walk all the way through all of them. But I'm very happy to tell you that there are a lot of daffodils that really do a very good job in perennializing in zone 8, zone 7, even in zone 9. And we're very fortunate to have all of them. There are a lot of different daffodil flowers, though. And I want to talk about that today and kind of get maybe open up our palate a little bit to have some different kinds of flowers, as well as more of them in the daffodil world. Bill's in Perkinston this morning, of course. How are you doing? He's, my goodness, talking about plum trees. The trees were in partial bloom. I knew this was going to come. And in fact, now the flowers look okay today. If they escape the freeze damage, you would be able to tell. No, you're right, Bill. He wonders if he's wrong. Of course, that's in Poplarville. Here's the thing. We're worrying about the blueberries. We're worrying about the plums. We're worrying about all of our early bloomers. But the good news is that we had just enough time for them to build themselves up that I don't think we're going to lose. I did get out and look at my blueberries, which had appeared to be just about to burst into bloom here in Zone 8, which is a little farther north, of course, than Poplarville. But I think you're right. I think you would be able to tell the flowers would not be looking okay today. Now, on the other hand, if every petal drops off today when the sun comes out, might be tomorrow, but whenever the sun comes out, you'll know that you've got to just wait and see whether or not the pollination was able to take place. But I don't think the tree will be damaged. Oh, my goodness. I'm not laughing at Bill, of course. I'm laughing at Paula.
To do some shearing. She's a master, so, you know.
If I was a dog, I'd be happy to be there. Come on.
Yeah. She takes care of business now.
I have put up this morning a picture at supertalk.tv of my tomato seedlings. And if you look closely, you will see that one in the front is looking just about perfect in proportion to its container. And the ones behind it are like twice as tall as the pot they're in. That's what happened. It got a little cool in my grow area, and they stretched. There was plenty of light, but they still stretched. So what I've been doing for the last 2 days is taking them out and transplanting them into slightly larger containers because they needed that anyway. But this is where you can bury the stem of a tomato. Doesn't work for everything. But if your tomatoes stretch a little bit, you can absolutely repot them with more of the stem below ground. They will form what are called adventitious roots. Those are handy-dandy because they're very good for the stability of the plant. And as you can see from the photograph, the next set of leaves is coming out already. So the plant's very happy about this. I did use a seedling starting mix, which has a little bit of fertilizer in it, but I did water and I did add a little bit more fertilizer to it just as I was transplanting so that they wouldn't go through any shock, and they did not. I've transplanted about a dozen so far, and I'm probably going to do another 20. They'll be fine. They're going to do just well. I'm not sure how I'm going to grow this many tomatoes, but I've made it into a project. I'm determined that I'm going to grow all of these seedlings, and they've been doing quite well for me. So if you're growing tomato seedlings and they stretch, the stems are longer out of the top of the container, you know they're going to get a little bit weak. Go ahead right now and move them into a slightly larger pot with a little bit more soil and allow that stem to be gently. You have to be real gentle with this. I use a chopstick and, you know, my fingers real carefully. Put that in there so that it can have a stable place to grow, and then you have plenty of room for more roots and, frankly, a better tomato plant, one that will be stronger. Good morning, Garden Mama. You said I could plant sunflower seeds in March. The cold snap coming in April won't hurt the seeds. Sarah from Winona. Thank you. You have a good day too, Sarah. We hope not. That's why we watch and see. Now, for example, if we feel like it's going to be really freezing, you don't want to plant the seeds for annual flowers. But if you can, if you do plant them in March and then it turns out to have a few cold nights, it's not going to hurt much, particularly if you can cover up the seedlings. What we're trying to do always by putting a cover over the soil in March is not only to cover the plants, but to warm the soil. So a lot of people will put that cloche on top of the bed where they want to plant things like sunflowers and early zinnias and give themselves the opportunity to get all of the sunlight into that patch of soil, warm it up, then plant. And yes, then you continue them under, you continue growing underneath that cloche as long as necessary. But there's many cases where we plant them in March and they're just fine. They don't need any help at all. But if you feel like things are getting a little chillier than you want them to be, you feel like they're not warming up fast enough, we do have things we can do. And one of those is to simply take the cloche that we would grow things underneath and put it on top of the soil to help warm it. Then plant underneath the cloche and off you go. You're into your whatever it might be. Sunflowers, zinnias, nigellas, you know, all those beautiful flowers that we have. Okay. Winona's such a nice place.
There was a Scooby-Doo episode there, set there.
Really? Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
Jonathan Winters.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, it was great. If y'all don't believe me, go look it up. Trust me. That was one of my favorite episodes of Scooby-Doo. When I'd come home and I'd seen the Jonathan Winters, Winona. It was, you know, one of the... You know, the mystery machine.
Crazy about
yeah,
him.
Yeah, it's good stuff. But it's a great episode. It's back when it's like the original ones. It's not like the new stuff. It was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It was, you know, forever ago. Yeah. You know, back in the 80s and 70s. So not recently. So you have to go back that far, you know.
I'll tell you, Jonathan Winters was possibly the second man that I ever saw dress up as a woman. The first was Milton Berle. And they were both hilarious.
Jonathan Winters, I'm sorry, I just can't.
There's not enough to say. He was so wonderful.
You're quiet whenever he's talking. I just laugh.
Just start now and laugh for a week. Absolutely. If you go back and look at if you're interested in old timey humor that is actually still relevant today, much of his is Johnny Carson and those kind of shows that he was on, but. His work with Robin Williams on Mork and Mindy
is
some of the most fun stuff that I've ever seen.
I'm sorry. I digress into comedy here, but yeah, it's something else.
Well, we can be funny we're not going to try to be funny. We're not comedians, but we can certainly appreciate humor. Let's put it
that way. Go back and watch some of that stuff, the Johnny Carson stuff with Winters mm-hmm. and with Robin Williams with him, and then the show that they were on. Oh, couldn't give me a break.
Just delightful. Yeah. Delightful stuff. Well, the sun will be out one day soon, and we'll be there. You stick around. We'll be back.
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive safely.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
William is one of millions.
Have the major league pitchers reported yet?
I don't know if they've reported yet, but I know the ball is rolling.
It's all about it. It's all about it.
We had college started last week.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I know parts of major league have, usually it is the pitchers and catchers. Mm-hmm. They get them there early and burn off the belly fat. Get them rolling.
Yes, get over the assortment of other points of view and get into the rhythm.
Get back in the rhythm. Get them running. That's the number one thing. All right, you got to run 4 miles today. Oh, come on, man.
Speaking of running, if you are in the capital city of Mississippi today, the Blues Marathon is running. They're all over town. They have like 5 races. I had no idea. There used to be one. It ran by my house. We waved, you know, on my way out the driveway to go to work. I was like, hey, y'all. But now it's a big deal, and that's really very cool.
Different skill levels.
Yeah, different things, and they've got a relay, and they got a whole bunch of stuff. It's very cool. I think that's a delightful
thing.
People
like to run and bike. It's living in Oxford. They always, the hills and everything, when they would have the double-decker, it was so well attended. And I'm a jogger, but I'm not running up and down those hills like that. I'm going to go find a good long straightaway. I don't mind one big hill in there, but just constant up and down, up and down. Jackson's that way. It's, you know, it's built on a volcano, so.
Yeah, so there's ups and downs everywhere.
Nooks and crannies everywhere.
I was watching one of my favorite Mardi Gras parades get rolling, and they were talking about how everybody had been to eat at this one particular place, and I thought, it must be bigger than it used to be. This is a lot of people. I think they're having a big time. This is, of course, we're moving into the big week of lots of Mardi Gras-ness all over the place, from Ocean Springs and Mobile and New Orleans and Mamou and, you know, Church Point and all, everywhere else that there's a...
You really want to live on the coast area when Mardi Gras gets kicking. There's so many parties. There's so much to do.
Yeah.
It's a little warmer. Stuff's in bloom a bit.
I love seeing people dressed up having a good time. And it's really
colors.
It's really very fun. Yes, it's
vibrancy.
Really fun.
It's just telling you what's coming. We got all the blooms coming shortly. Mm-hmm. But Mardi Gras seems to kind of set it off with the color.
You get the color of the witch hazels and the color of the Lenten roses and, you know, a little bit of green leafy business in here. Dave from Ripley wants me to grow all these tomatoes, I can tell. He has sent in a picture of a 3-tiered grow rack that holds 5-gallon buckets. So there's 4 of them on each of these 3 racks. That would be a fair number of tomato plants. Handy for a lot of stuff. Yes, those have been around for a while, and I have grown things in a couple of versions of that. It's a way to make more of the space, and also, frankly, to put the containers up where you can reach them and deal with them, as opposed to all of them being on the ground. So for people who like a slightly elevated garden, this is a real good way to go. Really fun. Nice idea. The purple peas, let's see. Did the effect of... Okay, I get this. Good question, but I think I've got it. This is the radishes in the row where the purple peas had been. They did not grow well at all. Did the nitrogen from the peas have any effect on them? No, unless you dug in all of the leafy material, and in that case, you know, from the peas, in that case, you might have gotten more nitrogen and you'd have leaves and very few radishes. But in general, if we take those beans and put them into the compost, the foliage that's left over, the leaves and stems and roots and whatnot, and put that into the compost, that's actually a bed that needs some fertilizer. Because what happens is we don't feed the beans very much. They, in turn, take nitrogen from the air, which works perfectly for them. They fix it themselves, but then they take it with them. And so your people do work that back into the bed sometimes, or they take it and put it in the compost. It's a resource either way. But I doubt that it had an effect unless there was just too much nitrogen in the bed after they were there. That would be my idea. Ken's in Jackson. Well, interestingly enough, Ken, I'm looking at his amaryllis. It's got one short leaf and one long leaf. I don't know what's going on here. The small leaf has sprung up in the last week, and the tall one flopped over, and now it's all right. So what happened? Well, I think that your container is probably a little bit either wetter or drier. Amaryllis will flop its leaves over in response to either of those conditions. So I'm thinking that one or the other of those is working on you here. And the way that we propagate POFAS, which is another question, is with a stem cutting. If you've got a leaf and a stem and a grow node, you know, one of those places where the stem swells up a little bit, you've got enough to root. And it, I like to root a piece about a foot long because I like to put maybe 4 inches without leaves on it into water. And then that really does work well for me. And it, you get lots and lots of them. It's Ray and Sandy. Hey, y'all. On supertalk.tv. I know who was at their house this week. Nice house, by the way. Beautiful place. Lovely garden. And such great friends. Really fun. Fun to have y'all. That is the coming up next at supertalk.tv. If you're looking in with me, is a delightful case of verbena. It looks like Homestead Purple, which is the, well, she's a rogue. Let's put it that way. This is one that can literally spread across the median of a highway in Florida in about a week and a half from two cuttings. I mean, it's really fast growing plant in hot weather in bad soil. And we maintain them pretty well here, too. Lots and lots of camellias in bloom everywhere, and that's been a really fun thing to watch. Really nice. All right. Got that Swiss chard going. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I'm jealous because it does taste so good. It's another thing. It's another flavor that really goes well in things in the same way that the cutting celery that I was talking about before does. Swiss chard might be something that's too strong as a taste for you as an individual. You may or may not like it. But if you will use it in other things, you'll find that it makes a wonderful addition to any kind of greens. But it also makes a great addition to things like the mirepoix for making a sauce or something like that. Really, really nice. I don't think I can drink that much coffee, but I like the look of it.
I can drink all of that coffee.
Why do y'all put whipped cream in your
gallon of espresso around.
Probably need the whipped cream.
I like the whipped cream just to feel better about myself. Goodness.
Let's see. Greg and Vaughn was going to prune the roses, but they're already producing new leaves. Is it too late to prune them back? No. My roses have leaves on them, some of them. Not all of them, but some of them do. And this one does need to be shaped up, I can tell you that. It's got too many random canes sticking up all over the place for those flowers to be well supported. Not that we don't love nice green leaves and a lot of canes, but we're looking for flowers. So I think you're in a good place to do that. Let's see. Is there a kit where I can do a home soil test, or do I need to send it off? It depends on what you're testing for. If you just want to test for whether or not your pH is at neutral, if you want a real precise measure of it, you would need to send it off. But there are tests that you can do. You'll find them. It usually, maybe not at garden centers. It's one of those things that's kind of fallen off online, but try garden centers locally first for that sort of thing. There are also much more complicated versions of soil testing that you can do from other places. So it really does depend on what you're looking for. If you're trying to figure out if you have how many parts per million of potassium you have, we're going to have to go to a more sophisticated test. But if you're just trying to figure out whether you need to lime the lawn or whether you've got a neutral enough soil to grow asparagus or something like that, then you can certainly do the ones that you would purchase yourself. If I may say this, if you get a test that is not the one that you send off, and sometimes I even feel that way about ones that you would send off to the universities, but if you're testing it yourself, do it twice. And if you don't get the same result, do it again and give yourself the opportunity to be sure of your information. It's very important. Coming up today on My World are Van Sion daffodils. Now, I'm really crazy about this plant. Daffodils are something that every garden should have at least a dozen of, a dozen plants, a dozen varieties. You tell me, a dozen, but you got to have a bunch of them. And I think it's one of those, you know, we always see the pictures of people standing holding bags of daffodils and flinging them over their shoulders. That is how people plant large waves and drifts of daffodils, because you don't want them to be stood up like soldiers. You know, we think about planting tulips, we usually plant them in a pattern of some sort. Maybe it's a triangle or maybe it's a square, but we're trying to get their flowers to bloom one right next to the other. With daffodils, we're not trying to do that. We're actually trying harder to get them to bloom all over the place and actually have room for their individual little plants, too. So I want to tell you that there's many more than one daffodil that will grow in our part of the world. All they need is sun, to be planted in the fall, to be appreciated and not mowed down after they bloom, okay? The thing that's going to do that bulb the most good in the long run is going to be you leaving it alone until it can die back at least halfway and into its own brown self, because that's transferring nutrients into the bulbs, and that's what makes the blooms for the next year. Yes, you're going to fertilize, but you're still trying to grow the bulb and have it be there long after you are, in the case of many, many, many daffodils. Paper white narcissus have that quality, that they're long-lasting like that, but so do some of the others. I'm really very, very fond myself of ice capades. It's an early one. It's just beautiful. I'm crazy about it because it really does everything that I want it to do. Ice follies is even prettier, I think. They're just lovely, change their colors a little bit as they age, but mostly they're just durable. Hawera February Gold is another one. And of course, the classics, you know, we hear about King Alfred, but King Alfred may or may not be as reliably perennial as some of the others. I'm still going to plant some. They do seem to come up pretty well and do okay. Daffodils can be your friend. I hope you will make them a big part of your garden. Let's see who else is here on the text line this morning. Shane says that he wants to know whether he's supposed to trim them or not. They look kind of scraggly right now, but they're wonderfully healthy plants. He's in Oxford. You don't want to touch them now. Someone famous says, just look the other way for a few weeks, and then they'll green rack up again. If you have anything that you know is dead, if it hadn't leafed out last year and it never made a berry to the year before, and you know that cane is dead, yeah, you could take that out, but you would take it out all the way to ground level to make room for new canes to come up. If the plants just look kind of scraggly, like most things look at this time of the year, leave them alone, and the time to prune the blackberries is right after they fruit. After you pick all the fruit, go ahead and do the trimming on them, do the fertilizing, and they'll be happy again next year. They're still going to look scraggly in the winter, and that's okay. It's absolutely okay. Sir, today is, I don't know how to tell you this, Margarita Day. I'm not going anywhere that I think will be serving margaritas, but I'm always interested when there's more than one origin story for something, and everybody thinks they invented the margarita. It's like Caesar salad. The whole business of making the salad at your tableside and all that does come from Mexico, but who and exactly when? Well, we don't know too much. We don't know too much. I like that they call frozen margaritas adult slushies in this, because we have certainly said that a few times. But I don't know why there's all these different choices. And at the same time, well, why not? So that if you go classic with it, you're going to be talking about high quality tequilas. One of the reposadas, which are the ones that have kind of a woody taste to them. Mezcal goes an entirely different direction. It's just an interesting drink, and it's one that people think about because it can also be done without alcohol in it. It makes pretty interesting fruity drink. So today is Margarita Day. Hope y'all enjoy it. The people that are arguing about when it was made, of course, and who invented it, all want to take credit for it. There's a waiter. There's somebody who says he made it for his girlfriend first and then showed it to the waiter. And the girlfriend says it was named after her, so it's hers. You know, take your pick.
That's always was something to me, is the who really got the credit for the making the drink.
Yeah, exactly. Well, nobody. They all did in this case. It's like the Caesar salad business. It's real funny, though. We talk about these days and this what's going on. At my house, it's flowering quince day, and there are pictures of them, not from my garden, but from another that I photographed on the supertalk.tv today, simply because I think this is one of the plants that we don't appreciate as much as we should in the wintertime. It's going to last a long time in the garden. Those flowers will be there even after the leaves come out, and it also makes a really good cut flower because the flowers are so close up on the little precious pieces, bits and pieces of their stems. Take a look at flowering quince.
Think of all the comforts your family enjoys around your home. When you include propane appliances throughout your home, you can have even greater comfort, from endless hot water to softer clothing and cozier heat on cold winter days. With an all-propane home, you'll also enjoy greater efficiency and energy savings compared to all-electric homes. Go to PERC.com and ask why propane. The answer will be clear. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit MSPropane.com.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
We all hear.
Keep you making like a feline, heading for the borderline, going for broke. Saying one more hit ought to do it. This just ain't nothing to it. One more for the road. Lead up.
It's always fun to watch you dance, but we don't let anybody else see that, and I refuse to go quite as crazy.
This is your show.
It's hard not to sing along with Boss.
Yeah, I'd have
Skaggs
to do like YouTube stuff. This.
Well, now speaking of that, today is Tex Avery Day, my friend. Tex Avery, if y'all don't know. If you can say Looney Tunes, you know who Tex Avery is.
I'm a student of the art. Back when they were drawing it on cellulose and cutting and clipping and doing.
His name is Tex because he's from Texas. And when you move to California, you get called things based on where you're from. And in that case, he was Tex.
And how many cartoonists do you know named Tex?
I was Magnolia, you know.
How many cartoonists do you know named Tex? Not many.
Not very many. It helped him to stand out, I'm sure. But he directed Tom and Jerry cartoons, 40s, 50s.
Chuck Jones and that whole crew.
That whole
amazing,
crazy business. If you want to look up my favorite, not necessarily his favorite, but my favorite of his characters, it's actually the wolf. When you see the wolf, and the wolf has on the long coat and the big hat and all this stuff, and he's Mr. Flirtatious and frightening all at the same time. Mm-hmm. That's Wolfie. I like that. Yeah. It's a really great drawing.
Are you
talking
about the one with the Little Red Riding Hood wolf? Not that one, but they draw such a great wolf.
Yeah,
but
this one is more like hanging out at the Cotton Club.
Right, you know. I love their wolves. Yeah, like the Little
delightful.
Red Riding Hood grandma.
And
he did, in fact,
come up with the basic character of Bugs Bunny.
Yep.
So the early Bugses were his drawings too, before Bugs got quite as cute as he got. Anyway, Tex Avery.
Yeah, there were some renditions.
Oh, sure.
The original Mickey Mouse was not the most appealing.
No. The original Mickey Mouse, Steamboat Willie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. That was not.
I'm so glad you reminded me of his original name.
Come on.
Yeah, like how did I forget that?
You know, I know that stuff. I'm nerdy as they go. But at any rate, Tex Avery was blind in one eye as a result of an accident when he was an adult. So how do you continue to draw? How do you get used to that? How do you adjust? Well, he did.
It's kind of like Jerry Garcia with the missing finger.
Yeah, it just happened.
Didn't happen. I don't think it was when he was really small.
No, I don't think so either.
Kind of redo. And being a banjo guy, that wasn't easy.
There is, in fact, born in 1908 and lived until 1980, so he did see a lot of changes in the world.
Wow.
Saw a lot of changes
first
in the
year
world.
Of Reagan under his belt.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Any rate, the golden age of American animation, as they call it.
And it truly
okay,
was.
This is a good one. Zoot Suit Wolf.
That's him. That's exactly true. I looked that up.
Exactly
it had to be 6 months ago.
Thank you,
the
Larry.
Zoot Suit Wolf. That's
Thank
him.
You, Larry. Yeah. I like the hat. I like the coat. I like the attitude.
Yeah, he's got great
Don't
attitude.
Want to go out with him, yeah. But I like
would. I,
of course you would. Y'all would run the roads, you know. Come on. I'll watch over here.
You're talking about margaritas.
See, it could be a party. Paula's ready for us to have the margarita party.
So. I made a bunch of those. And
well, you were a bartender.
What we did was we used a lot of really fresh ingredients.
Sure.
And also some very high-end stuff.
Yeah, if you are under the impression that things like margaritas come out of a bottle, you need to go to a better bar.
Yeah, we made them in martini glasses, and they were a little expensive, but you just using great ingredients and fresh lime and all the goodies instead of going with the processed stuff makes a huge difference.
Yeah, that's why the clients buy three instead of one.
Right, and you can do the cheaper ones. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just it's always nice to try different versions.
It's not the real drink.
Yeah, the higher end was using good stuff like Grand Marnier and one of the higher end tequilas
and fresh
lime and
now we're getting into
homemade sugary water.
Ones,
yeah,
you know.
It's always kind of fun.
It's good.
Using lime twists instead of a big wedge because you've already put the juice in it.
Oh my goodness, I'm being called upon to look into my crystal ball and predict the future.
The weather.
We need that terrible music that they play whenever anybody pulls out a crystal ball.
Oh, we need like the Twilight Zone music.
This is Greg is so great. This is East Yazoo County. Y'all know Greg is with us all the time around here. Thank goodness. Beautiful, beautiful part of the world. First picture is the blueberries before the cold. Mm-hmm. And the second is yesterday. The bushes were covered with fabric cover that goes all the way to the ground. It was 19 and 20 degrees here in Vaughan. What do you think? Will they still bloom? They got juiced up in that 80-degree weather. Yeah, mine did too. Usually it's the cold snap when they're fully blooming that gets them. That's what I think. I'm with you, Greg. I don't know if they're going to bloom. I think they're going to bloom. I think mine are going to bloom. Mine were not covered up, and it was 16 degrees at my house one morning this week. But they're tight like that. They're tight in the same way that yours are. They're not open yet. But we just have to wait and see. We don't know what it's going to do.
And if they don't,
plums are the same, you know.
If they don't, the birds and squirrels will have a nice little meal.
Well,
figure it out.
The pollinators will have some flowers to pick upon that fall on the ground. One thing or the other will happen.
I saw the prettiest red-bellied woodpecker. I didn't know what it was. I haven't seen one in the yard, but he's been having a blast. And Hawk loves him because he's got this beautiful red head and the black body with the white spots. And he is, or she is, tearing up that tallow tree, whatever's left of the flowery stuff, the hard pieces. It's just frolicking around and throwing them everywhere. I had to go do some research because I was like, what is this? You know, what is this guy?
Why is there this line of holes on my tree?
He's having a blast.
Well, and we do have lines of holes when we have woodpeckers, usually more so than when we have borers. When we have borers, we will have holes, but they aren't necessarily in a line. That's not entirely always, but some of the time. Okay, now we'll talk about that in a little while, Rhett. I understand. I know people do. I know people that do that. Woo-wee. My goodness. Does anybody know a narcissist? Well, yeah, we probably do all know a narcissist. The American Psychological Association has done a study that I believe, it's not one of the ones that I could have done because I wouldn't have thought of it, but narcissists, the definition of narcissism is pretty much self-absorption. If you understand Greek mythology, Narcissus was the individual, I'm not going to say man or woman because I don't remember, but the individual who spent all their time looking into the water and gazing upon their own reflection. And this, of course, can be pleasant, but at the same time, you miss a whole lot that's going on around you. And what happens, of course, is that that person then feels uninformed at times, and so they rely on what they know. And that's where narcissism sometimes comes out, is in that pontification with no room for conversation. So faced with ambiguous social situations, that is to say the ones where they can't necessarily pontificate, narcissists are more inclined to perceive exclusion than you or I would be, who are not necessarily gifted with those particular behaviors. They're less self-absorbed peers. We don't necessarily stare at our reflections in the water all the time. This can sometimes be that they feel shunned because they are. You know, people are going, why is this person so self-absorbed over here? Or because they don't understand what's going on around them, because that social norm of theirs is making them excluded from everything else, not necessarily intentionally. They just truly don't know what's going on. So they perceive that they're being ostracized more often. Now, I say this to you because I have seen it in children. They're not necessarily narcissistic, but if they perceive that they are ostracized, they may try to step away farther. And that's not what we're here to do. As parents, we're here to loop them back in. As teachers, as friends, as aunts and uncles and grandparents, we're here to loop them back into the experience. Yeah, I might have to take that cell phone away. I did it, and I survived, and they still love me. We'll talk more. Stick around. We got a lot to do. This is the Garden Mama Show.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish. Then there is Superior Catfish.
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive safely.
Sometimes I
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
I will have Zoot Suit on the top of my brain for all the rest of the day today.
We have two things as an update. Mike, yes. He gave me two calls. First was regarding the margarita conversation, and he makes a candy apple margarita with coconut rum. And he said, so I mean, I was like, man, we got a great recipe here.
Let's write this
and
one two, down.
He said, remember Mortimer Mouse, too, because he was also,
Mortimer
it
Mouse.
Was also going to
oh,
be Mortimer.
My goodness.
Yeah, so that was the, thank you, Mike, for the updates. And folks, be careful with a candy apple margarita
please
with
be
coconut
very careful.
Rum inserted.
Rhett wants you to know that he puts a little light beer in his margarita.
I agree with that 100%.
I've never done that.
Yeah,
I've
Sprite,
seen other people. I've watched other people.
Soda, Sprite, tonic, beer—they're all great.
Other things,
they work well. It just kind of gives it a little fuzzy and bubbly.
This is how long ago I began going out to dinner with girlfriends, which was an excuse to go out and drink frozen strawberry margaritas at El Chico's back 100 years ago when there was such a place.
There was a cafeteria plate once I saw at a restaurant, and they had grabbed them from all over Jackson. And it was a defunct, type of Mexican restaurant from probably like the 60s or 70s, back when cafeteria plates were
a thing. Yes.
And it was the coolest logo I'd ever seen. I'm like, how does that place go out of business? And it was, I wish I could remember the name of the place, but the logo on the, it was actually a cafeteria plate, had it embossed in there, and it was that mm-hmm. old and had mm-hmm. not faded or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I wish we made stuff that well again.
I'm so old that I can tell you that there was a cafeteria plate Mexican buffet in my university town, and it was Ponchos. And
if
you needed more salsa, you raised the flag on your table and the waiter would bring
more
chips.
I think it was Ponchos. That was it. So it had to be a buffet type place.
It was.
That was it. Mm-hmm. I don't know where the people where I think I saw it were from Louisiana. So
that was a Friday thing for us.
Okay.
Y'all have to understand. No offense to Ponchos, but it was not first class food. The good news is that we only made $2.12 an hour.
That didn't matter,
so
we
went Friday on payday. We were great. We spent $1.80 on lunch once a week.
Man, when I lived in Mexico,
I'm not kidding y'all. And I'm old, but I'm still alive. I'm not that old, you know. So.
When I lived in Mexico, I lived off of tortillas, jalapenos, and a little guacamole. It was like a 50-cent lunch. I spent more on the beer at lunch than I did on the food.
No doubt.
Well worth it.
Well, yeah, better beer.
And the food was fresh. Yeah. Food was fresh, and it filled me up.
Let's see. Ken and I are talking back and forth about what he needs to put his next Christmas cactus in that he has rooted, and I agree a shallow pot is probably the better thing.
What happens when they get tall and start leaning a bit?
They lean out of the pot. They don't go up. They go out.
Right. How do you solve that? Do you have to lean them up against something to keep them from?
You have to take cuttings. If it gets past the bottom of the pot, you start taking cuttings.
Gotcha.
You know, but in the case of mine, they're on a shelf where they can literally fall through the slats, mm-hmm. and so they're everywhere at the moment. They still need to be repotted, y'all.
Call that cactus that has the one flower at the top and it's just like a long spine?
It's usually a mammillaria that does that.
Mammillaria, there mm-hmm. you go.
Usually. Not always, but...
Those are ones you want to keep in a pot. You don't want to leave them outside. This time,
not unless you're in Arizona.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You would not have a cactus.
The ones that we have, you'll see these in the Delta, that's the native cactus. It's the only cactus that can tolerate our soils and wet weather and that sort of stuff. And it's beautiful, but it's an opuntia, and it has gigantic flowers on it. They're beautiful.
The one at the stack that's growing along, and you and I need to take a ride up there one day and park on the stack. But there is obviously some type of cactus growing on the pearl side of the stack there.
Well, that's going to be the native cactus.
Right, and there's probably 20 feet of it, and they're the big heads, mm-hmm. and they grow up
beautiful
over the
plant.
Rail a bit. Yes.
Beautiful
they're
plant.
A little ugly right now because of the coloring, but I can imagine
They get very ugly in the winter, mm-hmm. just like so many of us, but they come back out in springtime.
Right, they're going to come back out, though.
Oh, yeah, sure. Of course. Oh, I love this. My flowering maple has survived a mealybug infestation and is struggling to leaf out. Any suggestions? Sounds like whatever you did is working. If you've applied the mealybug control at 8-day intervals 3 times, you've done everything that you can do to actually control that infestation, because they multiply at 8-day intervals. And that means that the ones you control today have already laid eggs, which will hatch next week. So we have to get in there and do that and break it up.
There are things that you don't really expect to be necessarily all in the same boat.
There you go.
One of the things.
Sorry about that.
I love it. I did something.
No, it just jumped on me. I'm sorry. By the way, in case you're wondering, folks, you do get to hear me when you get the Garden Mama newsletter, but I didn't realize it was going to do that. And yes, I did put up a picture of the fertilizer that I recommended for somebody to use. It's a really interesting thing to write this newsletter. I'm enjoying it very, very much, perhaps even more so than in previous years. I don't know. Yes, it is a prickly pear. That's right. That's the common name of it. And there's really only one. Oh, yeah, I love this. Now, Rhett loved Ponchos in Lafayette. And... I like this. I like this. Free brunch. Brunch with free margaritas. I like that. That's fun. Sounds like a good time to me. I think I used to eat at an El Chico in Monroe when I went to Tech. Well, Bubba in Starkville. I think Ruston was Louisiana Tech, and Monroe was Northeast Louisiana State College when I was there, but university later. So either one of those would have been fine. There probably was an El Chico. I can't really tell you that for sure. I know there was one in Baton Rouge.
I think this is the place because these folks had a lot of South Louisiana connections. And so I'm thinking that was...
See, more ponchos memories. Yes. What happened to ponchos, y'all?
That's
we need to bring back ponchos.
How did that logo go out of... I don't care how bad the food was. The brand
the food
was
great. Yeah. The food was not bad. It was just so basic that, you know, literally it was beans and tortillas. I mean, it was this was not carne asada. This was not, you know.
These were the first renditions
trying to bring a little bit of Mexican food that was a sort of Tex-Mex, but sort of not. You know, it was early.
We were early in the game.
Well, yeah, we all still thought that, you know, Chinese food included incredibly overfried egg rolls. Well, that was because they wanted us to buy more egg rolls. It wasn't because it was traditional. But anyway.
I had a great conversation yesterday with a restaurant owner, and they have been doing a lot of farm to table, mostly everything that they can get.
Love it.
Fresh, as far as vegetables and those things from the local area. And most of it's coming from around Bolton, and which you know is a very, very well worked area as far as the gardening and all that. But I thought one day maybe, you know, we could discuss more and how much, you know, people, if we do have listeners out there that do supply, say, some restaurants or small batch stuff, I'd love to hear what you guys are doing because I'm fascinated with that we have such a great climate, we have such a great soil, you have so many great, you know, growers here, and then you got a garden mama that can help you.
And by the way, if you're a restaurateur and you're not attempting to source locally, you're missing a bet because it's a high selling point.
Well, and the money, we were talking the money side of it, and I was very very close to what you would imagine buying it in a bigger store.
Sure, it's a value added crop because it's better because it's local, it's fresher. Really it has all
we
of
continue,
that.
You know? We talk about, you know, what's in our foods.
Exactly.
Whether they're good or bad for you and processed. And this is not to take away from supermarkets, but if you have that option as a restaurant, it seems to me that would be a great option to add to your menu. And it seems profitable and extremely easy to get. A lot of
It goes directly to your investment in the community and also into, frankly, fresher food. Yeah. I have no problems. Obviously, I go to grocery stores, markets, all that sort of stuff all the time. But I have to say that if I have a choice, if I'm going to go get some Swiss chard, I'm going to get it from our friend's backyard over here, or I'm going to get it from the local farmer's market or a local farmer, because it will have been picked that day or the day before. It won't be in a box for 2 weeks. And that's really, I mean, I'm not faulting them. I'm glad they're able to send food to places where you can't get it, but we can grow so much that we should.
And if we have folks that are doing that, what are the barriers out there to dealing directly like that? If you're having those, if you are a grower and you are in that where you are supplying restaurants, I'd love to know. Just reach out to us and say, hey, these are some of the hard things to overcome. But once you do it.
Do you want to know?
Yeah.
One of the hardest things, whether it's flowers or vegetables or even if you're growing local meat products for restaurants and stuff, is keeping up with the demand. Because it is every day.
Right.
And you have to be set up for that. Or you have to do things like, you know, have watermelon week.
Come get watermelons.
You know, I'm thinking about our friends at Watermelon Festival. Obviously, they sell those watermelons all over the country. But at the same time, you got to get them when they're fresh. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of different ways to look at it.
I loved when in Oxford there was Brown's Dairy, and they had the greatest chocolate milk. And it was from their cows.
Oh, yeah.
It was their milk, and they made the chocolate milk. And you could find it in several locations there, and it was always great to walk in, and it had just been delivered. And
Jay and Flowood is reminding us of the El Chico in front of Metro Center Mall. I know people that worked there. He says it was delicious.
I grew up over there on that side of town until I was four, not far from Metro Center.
Let's see. Have I ever grown this variety of bachelor buttons? Yes. If they get 10 feet tall, I will say it's because you gave them too much nitrogen. They do have the capacity to get to be tall plants, but they need to be restrained a little bit so that your stems are nice and strong. Cornflowers are just beautiful, or bachelor buttons, whichever you want to call it there. This is the cyanus plant. It is not the gomphrena, which we think of as the bachelor button. It's the little tight flower. These are actually usually called cornflowers, but either one. But yeah, I love that variety. I love the mixed colors. I like blue ones, particularly because blue is not so easy to find. But I also really do like the pinks because they're almost lavender in many cases. See, somebody's getting ready for Mardi Gras there at supertalk.tv. My house is not decorated. I found my wreath, but it's not going to get put up. Oh, fun. Good. DeSoto County, Southern Fast Food Restaurant. Love that. We'll give them a bit of a plug as soon as we talk to them. That'll be fun. But using local meats and vegetables, very, very good. It's owned by a farmer. So I think that's terrific. Schnapps. Okay, here we go, Mike.
I did get the recipe there.
That looks like
he has some good substitutions for it.
I think I need to be at home if I'm going to drink that.
Be staggering around home. Don't hit any stairs or soft spots.
Oh, my goodness. That's funny. Yeah, somewhere.
Flat ground.
Yeah.
And soft, and just in case.
Just in case.
The hardest thing about drinking three of them in like 50 minutes, I think it's not that you're going to get inebriated, it's the brain freeze that gets you. But he challenges anyone if they can take three of them down in 50 minutes.
No. No. Savor your drink. Come on. Enjoy. Ugh. Question about how to get the newsletter. Thank you very much for asking. Send me an email to mamaonair@yahoo.com. It is $60 a year, and you can send money to me in PayPal, or you can send money to me in Zelle, both at that email address, or you can just write to me, and I'll tell you how to send me a check. Or we can meet for coffee, and you can pay me cash if you want to. We've done that a few times.
Cash is king.
Well, there are people who don't.
Or gold. Gold will work.
Gold would work, but there are more and more people, especially in my generation, who already were. They didn't even like to write a check, because you didn't know how long it was going to take for it to get. So they're really not much into the whole monetary world thing, paper world. They want to come bring you some cash. That's nice too. Very pleasant. Let me see now. Butterscotch, green apple, all liquid. Oh, wow. That's quite a recipe. All right. We will not be sampling that here on the air.
We'll do that after air time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we have to be well off the air before that. Does anybody else get as much static electricity as I do?
I do.
I touch everything, geez. I realize that, I have an electric personality, but that's not what I'm talking about. The reference to styrofoam peanuts sticking to the cat's hair, is another good example of that. But that tiny electric jolt has been the subject of controversy for years and years and years. People, they study it. It is, speaking of silly party tricks, if you've ever gone anywhere and somebody rubbed a balloon on their hair and made people's hair go across the room with them, because it was so staticky. This particular subject of intrigue has letting us know that this is contact electrification. It is unpredictable, but it actually, the order to it goes directly to what happened to that surface before. It's kind of confusing. That's what they're going to study next. But it has to do with the previous. I think because I've had static electricity my whole life, I'm probably always going to have static electricity is what they're telling me. I don't really know why. They don't either. But it's just interesting that it's a thing enough to be studied at universities internationally. The Institute of Science and Technology in Austria is the ones that did this particular one. They're trying to put a little order into the chaos.
I touch the styrofoam cups every morning to get coffee. Every morning they stick to me. I have to be careful when I stick it under there, because if I don't, it'll come back with me.
How interesting.
And the coffee will start pouring down every day. I don't know what it is. Now, the rest of the day, it's not, but it's that first contact.
I'm doorknobs and people and some pieces of furniture that, are just for some reason or another very attracted to me, I guess. I don't know what that is. Interesting stuff.
Naugahyde.
How many Naugas had to die for that couch? Come on. Because we always talk about emus around here, I didn't want to miss a chance to talk about the modern, they are, in fact, the modern dinosaurs. Like birds, they're as close as we're going to get to that particular phenomenon. They're bigger technical people than we are. This is, in fact, I love the word paleonoth. It's hard to pronounce. Love that sort of stuff. But anyway, it's not just the commercial with the emu. They are, in fact, busy all the time solving problems. I think I need an emu. Can I have one? How tall does the fence have to be?
I think you just train it.
Yeah, well, I've had so much success training animals in my life. Anyway, I'm going to come back. We're going to talk about what other day it is today and what else you can be doing in your garden this week. Stick around.
We have one voice, the voice of agriculture. We have one job, growing the products you need every day. We have one mission, fighting for agriculture and rural Mississippi. We have you in mind, caring for your private property rights. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
Please do not use gas appliances for purposes for which they are not intended. A gas oven should never be used for heating purposes. Never store flammable materials inside. The Mississippi Propane Gas Association takes pride in keeping your home or business protected. We ensure that our products are delivered in compliance with the highest industry safety standards to safeguard your family, your property, and the environment. Our dealers participate in the industry's best practices for propane usage and promote consumer safety education. Visit mspropane.com. Energy for everyone. Propane.
Turnips on a flatbed truck. Crunching on a pork rind when she pulled up. She had to be thinking this is where rednecks come from. She had Hollywood written on her license plate. She was lost and looking for the interstate.
Needing, or as we call it, the freeway.
And I was a man highway. For
the us California girls. Well, the good news is that she likes sweet tea and turnip greens, so it's okay for her to be here. So that's nice. Hey, now, I don't know how to tell y'all this, but Pancho's Mexican Buffet has more stuff on Wikipedia than you want to know.
It's a revelation.
But it did make it into the 21st century. It closed up entirely, I think, around 2012, somewhere in there. But it was all about that raising the flag thing. And the part that I found that's the most interesting for me really was that the owner learned how to cook from his mom, all the Tex-Mex foods, because he was from Texas. But I really appreciate the fact that he learned how to cook and then was in a serious amount of, as they say, government service. He was in the military as a chef, as a cook.
Wow.
And so he learned how to do it on a really big scale and that's came important. Home and started buffets. Yeah, they had two or three other restaurants. I think the family still has other things. But that was a big deal. Pancho's was a big deal.
There's a place over in Vicksburg, and I think it goes into Louisiana, called Taco Casa. I believe that's the name of it.
I don't know that one. That's cool.
It's great. I go over there all the time. And it's kind of a throwback, too, in price. Mm-hmm. And you know, they do a lot of things that are just straight up. There's like tacos, burritos, nachos.
The simplest.
Some of your basic stuff. And it's been around forever. It's a great little
spot. This was I think they originally had like flautas and that kind of stuff on their buffet, but it was some of it. I do remember this, and that's what I was just reading, is that they brought some stuff to the table. You ordered some of it on the buffet, and the other, you took the, anyway, it's just, it was a.
I love a taquito.
Interesting mix.
I like
things.
The cigar taco, you know, the rolled taco. That's my favorite, the taquito. Yeah.
That's too much. That's too much of the corn for me.
I love that. I like the fry.
Well, it's nice. So I eat one, but if I'm gonna eat a meal,
17 of them.
Well, you know, I'm over there looking to see whose mama made the chili relleno. So I'm kinda...
Oh, a chili relleno. I remember the one they had down at Iron Horse. It was like a chili relleno with a piece of fried chicken. They were going to call it. It was so
my
good.
Goodness.
And the original before it burned a few times.
Several times. Mm-hmm. Good question from the Carrollton area. Kevin wants to know what kind of soil to put in that 5-gallon bucket for tomatoes.
Garden Mama Specialty.
I will tell you, Garden Mama Specialty will grow it. essentially, you can always send me an email and I'll send you the specifics of it to mamaonair@yahoo.com. But it's basically a good brand of potting mix with some ground bark added to it, or ground soil conditioner, whatever's a smaller bark pellet kind of thing. Not the hard ones, but the little bitty ones that are conditioning for soil. Add that to it. Add in a little bit of sand if you have it, a little bit of fertilizer to sweeten things up, and you will really be on your way to having a soil that drains well, can hold the plant up, and has enough nutrition in it to get started. But you know, I believe that we feed the soil and then we feed the plant. So soon enough, it'll be time to start adding fertilizer through the top of the plant. Make sure you poke holes in that 5-gallon bucket.
And I don't remember if it was last week or the week before, but that was one clip that we did have, if I remember, was on the soil. So if you want to go back and check also on the YouTube side,
you'll find it on there.
Garden Mama.
I'm everywhere.
She's everywhere. And it is a great
clip. Like it or not.
I have to admit, it's a great clip. So yes, I did a wonderful job of it.
He did a wonderful job.
Yeah, but no, it was very to the point and a kind of a reminder if you want that again. And I'll try to locate that too and put it, you know, so we can find it.
Kevin wants to know when to plant this tomato in the Carrollton area in a 5-gallon bucket. And the answer is pretty much when you want to, if you can protect the bucket. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to do is keep the soil warm and keep the plant growing. So if we have to wait until after the last frost, it's going to be April. But or the last predicted frost, we don't really know when the last frost will happen. But because one of the joys of growing in containers is that we can literally plant them, let the sunlight heat up the 5-gallon pot most of the days, keep the plant covered on top, and then roll it inside if we need to somewhere in a garage or something if it's actually going to be freezing. But growing again in that close situation, when the plant's small, you can turn the tomato cage upside down on top of it and cover it with plastic if you need to. So you can go. I'm not going to start today by putting tomatoes outside, but I'll certainly be doing that in March, and I may have to protect them. But that's okay.
Is there if you get started this early, is there any benefit to that? Obviously, if you keep them covered and you babysit them and make sure that nothing cold really gets
them. Benefit is that you have tomato plants of varieties that you couldn't buy locally that you're ready to plant if you're growing them yourself. That's usually why we do that.
And what is our fruiting period where it gets to the point where you're going
to
start seeing the
tomatoes? I'm trying to get tomatoes to bear in May and June because it gets really, really hot.
Right.
And the bugs get really, really nasty around then. So if we can get them to go ahead and make as early. That's why the variety Early Girl was so popular for a while. It has just about 4 days less time that it takes to mature the fruit. So it that's how it got to be so popular.
Is there a kind of a golden rule for how many do you want to plant? I guess is my question.
Do you want to break out in hives, or do you just want to eat tomatoes occasionally? I mean, you have to make your choices here. If all your neighbors and relatives are going to be coming for your tomatoes, you better plant two or three more than you expect to need. But a family of four can generally, if everybody eats tomatoes and you make tomato sauce also, can generally do with three or four plants.
Okay.
That may be too many. Mm-hmm. If your family...
Then you got to give them away to us.
Exactly.
Right.
If your family hates them, it's also partly it's insurance gardening. It's if I only plant one and it doesn't do well, then I'm sad.
Well, that's what you always say, right?
But if I plant three or four,
So if you do have too many, we're available.
We are very much available.
Bacon and tomato sandwiches is coming.
We absolutely can. It's a funny thing how when people talk about what they miss or what they appreciated at some time or, have a sort of a look back moment, somebody was saying that, I don't even know these people. But they said, no, there was a guy on so-and-so street, and every year in the middle of June, you could go by and buy tomatoes off the tables in his front yard. His family had grown up and gone away, and he just grew them because he liked to grow them, and he would put them out in the front, and you could come get them. And I said, wait a minute, I don't know you, but I knew that guy. Because I remember going by and seeing that guy, wrote about him for an article at one point, and it was absolutely his greatest joy was to see people ooh and ah over his tomatoes and put them in a bag and take them off, So he spent money to grow them. They're not, they're not free. But the pleasure that he got from giving them away is a lot of the neighborhood was very happy and thinks of him warmly even today.
I think my mama was like that, too. She loved growing and to give it away also. Mm-hmm. And not only just for the what, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and the big holidays, but there was so much, you'd give so much away.
Sure.
Love doing it.
Sure.
Sit out there shelling those peas, knowing we're going to eat about half of them.
Now, I will admit, I once had the experience of growing more peppers and eggplants than me or the neighborhood could take. But it was when the squash really bore out too much that people would cross the street when you were walking towards them. They'd had enough. Get those zucchinis away from me. And I understand. I mean, you know, we people who really love all that can be kind of crazy. How many tomato plants go into the 5-gallon bucket? I'm going to put in two because I'm afraid one will die in the transplant process, but then I'm going to take one out. You know, I won't pull it out. I won't cut it. I will cut it at ground level after they have about 5 sets of leaves on them. That sounds funny, but again, it's insurance. I don't want to waste my time or my space. So, and I will, Kevin, I will send you that information. Okay.
White vinegar is what you are going to pickle things in, correct?
A lot of things.
No, like, say, pickles and cucumbers
and a lot of things like that. Mm-hmm.
Is there another form of vinegar you would use? Because we'll get to that pickling season. I was just having this conversation also yesterday with the restaurant owner about just pickling stuff. And I love jalapenos, but also a pickled jalapeno.
Well, I don't want to put jalapenos in anything but white vinegar.
Okay.
But yeah, you can pickle stuff in other things.
All right.
You know, my fancy cooking shows, sometimes they'll pickle that. They call those the quickles because it's really not a pickle. It's a quick thing, treating it vinegar on red onions and cooking it for just a little bit. The vinegar, not the onion, and pickling it that way. They'll use champagne vinegar for that. People will use cider vinegar for some things. I find it really too bright in my taste buds, but a lot of people do that. Let's see.
We got a call from Lucy, and she's really interested in the tomatoes that we're discussing.
Good.
So, Lucy.
Hey. Good morning, Lucy. Thank you for calling.
Hey. My question is I grow tomatoes in pots, like you're talking about, with maybe bigger pots.
Mm-hmm.
How often, from year to year, do I plant it, just put it in there again, or do I need to dump that soil out and redo something to it? Or
I dump the soil out because of the problem with root knot nematodes that can happen in tomatoes, or else I just plant something else in that soil and move the tomato, you know, put the tomatoes in another container.
Okay, so you
rotate
or dump it in
preconditioned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
That was my question. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for asking it because it's important. It's one thing that we can get ourselves in trouble with. We just think, we'll just plant again. Well, you need to think twice. Thank you, Lucy. I appreciate
that. Yeah, I've done that before, and then they didn't do well.
Yeah, they just look at you. And that's the worst part. They don't actually even die. They just look at you. You know, they just sit there and don't grow.
They don't do anything.
It's really irritating.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Let's see now. Kevin says, what's the best type of tomato to grow for sandwiches? He's going to grow 2 buckets.
Great idea.
I would say Better Boy is a really good choice because it bears in clusters, and it's very, very reliable. But I would also say Celebrity is another really good choice because Celebrity isn't as tall. Celebrity is what is called determinate. The others are indeterminate. You don't know how tall they're going to get. Determinate tomatoes like Celebrity will be about 4 feet tall. And I think in a 5-gallon bucket, that's about all you need. But it makes a lot of tomatoes. And again, it's a case where you have to fertilize, feed the soil, but then you have to fertilize the plants too, to get all that to happen. And obviously a whole lot of, good sunlight and water when they need it. All of that works out. I have been saving this for this point in the morning because I really didn't know there was so much to even know about this. Today is sword swallowing day. I've never swallowed a sword. I don't intend to. But for all of us who have thought that was just really weird and freak show and odd, how do you think they're able to do endoscopy? How do they think they ever invented the idea of putting a tube down your throat to see what was wrong with you? Well, the sword swallowers taught them how to do it. So, now I think more of the sword swallowers. I just thought it was weird. You've seen it. You've seen jugglers and sword swallowers and all those things at a Renaissance fair or something, you know, some street event, some game.
They used to have those at, like, beginnings of concerts.
Yes, yes. And the people would blow the big bubbles, you know, and do all these entertaining things. For those of you who've never been to those concerts, we suggest you start one of your own. But anyway, that whole business is... I just had no idea that it had any applications beyond impressing the people around you, and in fact it does. So I'm happy about that. I know there are plenty of people that have to have that test done.
Well, you could just put one of those little spy cams on the end of your sword and just
see.
Take a look.
I'm sure somebody has done that by now. However, I did not know that people had been doing this since 2000 BC. And it was magical, and it was considered In the same way that if you've ever watched a ballerina dance that really knows their thing, you understand that a great part of ballet dancing is holding your muscles in a tight frame that they're absolutely not intended to be in for long periods of time. Well, that's what sword swallowing is. It's just a different set of muscles. But it has to do with your ability to basically hypnotize yourself into allowing all this to happen. The Greeks and Romans did all this, and then China in the 8th century and Europe in the 12th. I wonder if Marco Polo took it over there. Anyway, Europe in the 1200s, and of course then the mid-19th century, people were a little bit more pragmatic about things, and they said, don't teach her how to do that. Don't you know, we don't want that. Anyway, just funny stuff. No, Andrea, I do not have a mixture that I use just for tomatoes. My mix grows everything. And I will add a little of this or a little of that to it. For example, if I'm going to grow ferns, I'll probably put a little bit more moisture-holding organic matter in it, maybe core, maybe peat moss, whatever's laying around, because I do want that to stay a little bit more uniformly moist. You can do that with the plastic polymers, too, of course. If I'm going to grow cactus in it, I don't put those things in it, and I will put a slightly higher percentage of the looser elements. But no, it all grows everything, and that's I'm happy to say that I haven't had too many problems with that one. This is a good day to celebrate being a gardener. If you are a sword swallower, we'd love to hear from you. If you're a juggler, we'd love to hear from you. I can't do that either, but. I can tell you about potting mix and how to grow tomatoes. Thank you very much for being here. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Hi, I'm Billy Taylor, Executive Director at the Mississippi Department of Rehabilitation Services. Our agency works to help those we serve prepare for today and plan for the future. One way we do that is through the Mississippi ABLE program. This program provides the opportunity for individuals with disabilities to invest their money in tax-advantaged savings accounts without the fear of losing their public benefits. You can learn more or sign up by visiting MississippiABLE.com. That's MississippiABLE.com.
Hey, this is Bob.
Thank you.
In honor of Tex Avery and everybody that ever loved a Looney Tune.
Yes.
The Barber of Seville. Yeah. Come on. That's great.
And he had all the fresh fruit and vegetables on top of
all
Elmer Fudd's
all
head.
All of that.
And all the olive
that.
Oil and, so and massaging it in.
So fun.
Very appropriate to a gardening show.
Well, and so much fun. I saw a picture this week someone posted of a kid sitting on a school bus reading a book next to the NFL player that was reading the book on the sidelines at the playoff game and said, these are such rare creatures. We should pay more attention to them.
Mississippi's own A.J. Brown.
That's right. We're readers. We like reading. You know, we like that. I've told this before, but I'll tell it again as many times as I have the chance to. When I came to Mississippi in the 90s, I was a full-grown person with career and children and husband and all kind of stuff going on, and I had always written. I've been a writer since first thing was published when I was 8, okay? But I've had been writing my whole life, but I always had another job somewhere because it's hard to make a living as a writer only. And everywhere I'd ever been, it was sort of like when somebody says, you know, you're an actor in New York, they ask you, where do you wait tables? And in my world here, when I got to Mississippi, somebody said, well, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a writer, and I'm kind of hesitant about it. And many more than one time, they pulled out a sheath of papers and said, look, I am too. Let's read. You know, what did you write today? And that sort of encouragement and really, I mean, it really is the real thing. It really is the opportunity for us to understand that you're not the only person that still likes to read and write. Very important stuff. I don't know how to tell you this, but I can't roll to the top anymore. Where did it go? So if there's any more texts, I won't be able to see them. It all just went dark.
All right, it says, getting ready to do solar sterilization on raised bed garden with wilt black spot mold from last year. What do I treat soil with before I do this? How long to leave the plastic on and what to add to the soil after planting it?
At this time of year, I would drench the whole bed with fungicide and then put the cover on, the clear plastic cover, because you do need to suppress what the cooler weather in the springtime is generally speaking more favorable to those fungus diseases, and we don't want to just set up a place where it's just warm enough for them to really start growing. So I would drench the whole thing with a fungicide and then put it on for at least 6 weeks, maybe longer. It just depends on the temperatures, really. But it will work, and you'll be glad you did it. That's for sure.
Jim has one of my favorite photo type things that North Mississippi is so known for, it but has a great image of an old country home where it says, these bulbs are planted by my great grandmother over 100 years ago. They come up every year.
Yep.
And that's this time of year.
Yep,
they start popping
right.
up. That was one of my favorite things about running around North Mississippi is where all the old house sites were. There would just be daffodils everywhere.
In the fall, those same places have red spider lilies.
That's right. They
and,
sure do.
You know, Meemaw may have planted one or two, but they proliferate beautifully and have done a great job of naturalizing themselves. I love that. It's so funny, as if they weren't natural to start with. Well, you introduced them to a place where they didn't grow, and then they started growing. But as they naturalize or as they perennialize, they do go on for years and years and years, decades. You know, it's wonderful.
I have one comment about today. I was sitting here putting together the synopsis for our show today, and I was going through all the
no
topics.
Margaritas.
No. I have. Where else can you get a very
we actually
detailed
do keep an
discussion
archive.
Of daffodils growing, celery, potting soil, sword swallowing, margaritas, farm to table local sourcing, pruning roses, growing tomatoes, and so much more? Where can you get that?
Thank goodness the Garden Mama Show.
That's right. Right here. That's where you get it. Mm-hmm. And then we get the listeners to get to share with us.
So y'all are great.
Awesome.
We have the best listeners in the world. It's, I don't care.
Yeah, if you pull
it,
I don't know the Austrian university. I need to put that in there too, right?
It's some interesting stuff in there.
We haven't heard from Max Planck lately.
That we haven't heard anything from our friends at the Max Planck. We have to get into that. In the ultimate gardening good news department, there are two studies that you should be aware of. You can talk about them over dinner if you run out of other things to say or you get tired of, I don't know, nagging your relatives. Lifestyle and environmental factors affect health. Duh, we know that, right? And aging, yes, that's right. But now we understand this study from the University of Oxford. they have actually measured enough to tell us that it's more than genetic. That genetics are one thing, and they certainly are important, but your lifestyle choices, the environmental factors, that is where you live, what you eat, what you do, and all those sorts of things do make a difference in your health and how you age. And I'm happy to say that they're finding out that really and truly, you know, that you can actually do something. You can improve your situation, you young folks out there. I don't know, 40-year-olds, 20-year-olds. Y'all still have plenty of time to make these changes, and it does make a difference. And my own personal favorite, because I've always said, okay, I can go to the gym 3 hours a week and make myself crazy and hate everybody, or I can go out in the garden and probably work a little bit longer and probably have maybe not as rigorous a workout, but get enough done, keep moving, keep walking, keep going. The Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health tells us that a little movement, even a little bit, even for people who are frail and who are people who are old, people who are sedentary, actually will help. Engaging in as little as 35 minutes of moderate to vigorous, somewhere in there, just any of that, per week. Not every day, three times a week, none of that stuff. Just keep moving. And it does, in fact, when compared to people who make no such moves, was associated with a 41% lower risk of developing dementia in the classic, you know, they follow these things up for 4 years. I was hearing something toward somebody was talking about, well, there's no proof in science or this or that. Well, if there's not, it's not actually good science. So you need to go look and read the things. And in this case, what we're looking at is the studies that they studied various populations, and then they also turn around and review the records of other people's study. That's how we find out if it actually is true. And this is true. I love it. Go garden some more.
One follow-up question from our listener who asked about the sterilization.
Yes.
What do I put on the soil after sterilizing and before planting, if we didn't answer that?
That would be the point to take a soil test, right? Maybe say 3 weeks before you plan to open it up and do everything. Take a little bit of soil from it, do a soil test, and then you'll know exactly what you need. Because you may not need anything. You may just need a little nitrogen. You may not need any phosphorus at all. You may, you know, it really does vary from place to place. But there's not, I would like to tell you that I can recommend, you know, so many mason jars full of this particular fertilizer before, but I can't because I don't know what condition the soil is in. What we say generally is that if the soil will grow anything, you can probably grow vegetables for at least a year. that you won't use up everything that's in there at least that fast. But to be sure, it's a good idea to go ahead and get that soil test done. And then by the time you're done, you'll also know whether or not you need to add things for drainage. If you've got, you know, if you're too loose, the water's draining away too fast, or if it's staying there for too long, you can adjust all of those things when you take that plastic off. It's a real good idea. Better works better in the summer, of course, but it's going to be fine now too. My goodness, that was fast this morning.
I thought we were just in the first hour still.
Well, thank you for such a wonderful day, friends and neighbors. Appreciate you very, very much. We will be back with you again next Saturday. Meanwhile, come see me, mamaonair@yahoo.com. We'll talk about gardening and this, that, and the other thing.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall,
Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive safely.
Catfish.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.